Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Stephanie Lecce. There are a lot of movies out there about protagonists trying to find themselves in exotic locations like India. Think Eat, Pray, Love. But in the case of the film Blood Brother, it's a true story. Pittsburgh native Rocky Brat was sick of his life stateside when he went to India in search of something meaningful, and he found his calling in an unexpected place. Or maybe it found him. Brat's story was documented on film by friend and director Steve Hoover. He tells Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about one of the reasons Rocky chose to go to India.
He had seen a documentary on Mother Teresa years ago, and he said he was always impacted by just kind of the way he saw her taking care of people. And he felt like he wanted to have an experience like that as well, and that he wouldn't be able to find that, an authentic experience like that in the U.S., you know, where people were, I guess, that poor, and that we have so many systems set up for people who are suffering, or that they typically don't get to that place, you know, where they're lying on the street and maggots are eating their body. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why I think Rocky went. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure why Westerners go to places like India for, I guess, you know, spiritual experiences or different types of enlightenment. I think it has that, it just has a reputation, and I think people get bored or complacent with living the lives that we live, very scheduled, predictable lives for the most part. And India just seems so out of the ordinary, and again, kind of has that reputation for giving people something that it attracts those types of people, I guess.
There are certainly Americans that go there and do volunteer work and experience similar experiences to Rocky's. And what I find interesting is that he set out to go on a spiritual journey. And unlike a lot of us who travel, and some people go to India and go on yoga retreats, or they do other kinds of things that some would not consider really spiritual, but he actually found it. He found something really meaningful there.
You know, it's interesting because I think he was, you know, when he first connected with the orphanage, he actually hated it. His first week there, he went, he met the kids, and he just hated India as a whole. It was, you know, it was hot. He was in southern India. He was uncomfortable. He was eating food and getting rocks in it, getting tore up by mosquitoes. There's a lot of different things that he just did not like about it. And so he and the guy that he was with, they were like, decided to leave. They booked flights to Australia. They were like, let's go hang out on the beach for the rest of the summer instead of here. And they were actually on the train on their way to the airport. And he said he just felt like something kind of came over him, and he had to go back. So they canceled their flights, lost money, and went back to the orphanage. And they ended up being there for just about the rest of the summer until he went on the trip to northern India that he talks about in the film. So there were sort of these two moments of leaving the orphanage and coming back. But the first one, I think it might have been a little more dramatic in that he just didn't like India. So I think it was a surprise to him. It definitely was a surprise to me when he came back and did find something there. And I think it was a surprise to him as well, because in some ways he tried to, I guess, run away from it or leave it.
What compelled you to go then, after hearing all these stories about how much he hated it?
Well, I mean, initially he hated it.
Okay.
But when he came back, after his spending the summer there, he had, you know, developed relationships with these people that, you know, he couldn't really abandon or shake. So when he came back, he kind of, there was something about him, like you could tell that he was changed or that something was different. And he had committed to basically saving up for a year and moving to India after that summer. It's still at that point, I wasn't interested in going. And I didn't really understand what it was about the kids or his experience that had moved him. And he was, like, him and I shared a room, not just an apartment. We shared a room because we lived with a handful of people. And, I mean, he put calendars and photos of the kids on the wall. The calendars, he was literally every day marking off till he would go back for a year. And I just didn't get it. And, you know, when he moved, I still didn't get it. And it wasn't until kind of the realization that Rocky, you know, I had always wanted to do a documentary ever since I started in filmmaking and, you know, commercials and music videos. And I was reading Rocky's emails about, you know, which were sort of some of them were really inspiring and some of them were tragic. And knowing Rocky and sort of his background, and he was a character, and he was living an interesting life and doing interesting work. And it wasn't until I sort of made all those connections and remembering that I always kind of wanted to do a documentary that I took an interest in visiting him and seeing kind of what it was all about.
Well, that's really jumping into the fire with your first documentary then. How did you even approach filming a documentary in India when this is your first attempt?
Well, initially I was kind of having a reaction, or I was sort of rebelling from production. I, you know, spent time doing music videos and commercials, and everything was so planned out and polished, and I just wanted to react to it. I wanted to not be as planned out, I guess. I when I started, I was pretty careless, you know, to be honest with you. When Rocky first came, I was kind of lazy in the production. I didn't think through the shots. Sometimes I was just shooting by myself because I wasn't worried about the image. I was only interested in the content. So initially, it was kind of a reaction. I just wanted to enjoy. I wanted to work on something, and I wanted to enjoy it and not, you know, be stressed out by it. So that was kind of the going into it. That was the mindset. But as I started moving forward, you know, other people started to take interest. I didn't have any budget to start off. I had access to different cameras because of my job. I worked for a production company in Pittsburgh called Animal. And, you know, I had access to gear and stuff like that. So just as I started moving forward, people took interest and started helping. And then, you know, I started taking it more seriously and thinking through, you know, the craft was important just as much as the content. So, you know, as the film progresses, in my mind, that, you know, the cinematography and everything, the craft gets better because of things like that, or because of that mindset.
Well, at one point during the documentary, you say that I think I'm actually quoting here, it says you can't catch the experience on camera. And I'm wondering if at some point, you know, I'm sure it's awkward at first when you're filming and you think you're getting in people's way and they're not being as genuine as they could be because the camera's in their face all the time. So at what point did it transform into really capturing what was going on there?
I think it was just the feeling I had, you know, mixed the experiences I was having, the feeling of just being there for the first time. Because when we got there, when we landed in India, it was, I think, 2 or 3 in the morning. And then we drove to the village in the dark, which was like an hour and a half drive. So I didn't even really, I was in India, but I couldn't see India. And then, you know, as the sun came up, the village was kind of like, and Rocky's world there was sort of like slowly revealed to me. And I guess just the mix of feelings and emotions. And it was so, to me, it was so amazing and overwhelming. And I just felt like I was looking through the camera as well. I'm like, man, this is almost pathetic compared to what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. So that was sort of like keeping that in the film, to me, was a way of trying to communicate that idea that it's almost so much more than what I'm able to tell through the film. And, you know, at first it was difficult with the kids. They were just so excited to see the cameras and stuff like that. It was hard to get them to ignore the cameras at first. So that eventually they got more and more comfortable with it as we just, I mean, we were rolling kind of nonstop. So eventually they got more and more comfortable with it. By this point, Rocky was used to it because for 2 months I had been drilling him in the U.S. and just, you know, following him around and filming him. And so by that point, he had kind of gotten used to it. He was just excited introducing us and you know, me to the people he knew in the world he had, the life he had been living there.
How good were you at being able to keep yourself separate as a filmmaker from what was going on in front of you? I mean, it's very compelling, so I can't imagine that you were just so, that you were easily able to stay objective.
Right. You know, the difficult thing is that the people, you know, the kids, Rocky, you know, kept, in a lot of ways, kept pulling you into things. I think it was kind of impossible at times to just be a fly on the wall. And I think that's why I ended up becoming more a part of the story than what I originally anticipated. It's because I did get pulled in a lot of ways. And I was, you know, really moved and impacted by everything that was happening. you know, I was inspired by Rocky, but I didn't want to force that on people. I wanted to show all sides of him. You know, in some ways, I was waiting for him to mess up. I was waiting, you know, where are the flaws? Where's this? Because I wanted those things to be in the film. I wanted people to, because I know Rocky is imperfect, you know, and it's important for people to be able to relate to that and relate to that in his character. So, I was just committed to trying to show all sides of him and all sides of India.
What are your thoughts on India now? I mean, there's still a connection there, obviously, between the orphanage and the film. And do you have any perceptions? Are you going to go back? Is this something you're going to participate in now, too, is going back to the orphanage?
Yeah, I've actually, I've been back. When the film was finished, my wife and I went to the hostel. We went to India. We spent 5 weeks there, and we shared the film. You know, we spent time with the kids, and then Rocky and I actually did a little bit of traveling to some places further south, a couple other orphanages that he knew about and had connections to through the one he was mostly helping at. And, I'm definitely really engaged to things that are going on. I'm not sure if you're aware of it or not, but all the proceeds from the film, all the filmmaker proceeds, you know, myself, the production company, you know, we're not going to see a dime from the film. We're donating all that we would make to Rocky and the kids and to other HIV/AIDS initiatives that we've partnered with along the way. So Rocky and I spent time just kind of, you know, finding ways that we can put that money to use. And so, you know, I'll be engaged in that process throughout the years. We started a nonprofit to basically receive these funds so that we can then make things happen.
You're going to be here for the screening, right? Are you going to be giving a presentation, anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be doing, as far as I know, we'll be introducing the film and doing a Q&A at the end of the screening. So,
well, Steve Hoover, I really enjoyed watching the documentary. Thank you very much for coming on Lake Effect.
Yeah, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Steve Hoover is the director of the documentary Blood Brother, which will be shown at the Milwaukee Film Festival on Thursday night at the Oriental Theater. Hoover spoke with Dan Harmon. You can find more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That's Wednesday's edition of Lake Effect. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Great being with you today. I hope you can join tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next.